Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to High Velocity Radio, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here in the studio with you today. And today's episode is brought to you in part by Safe America CEO Network. Join an elite network of C-level executives dedicated to helping protect America. For more information, go to safeamerica.org/CEO-network. How'd I do on that, Lee?
That was pretty good.
I hadn't done a live read in so long.
I know. Back in the saddle.
I know. We've been out playing on the road. I am so excited to be back in the studio on more of a weekly rhythm. We're going to start doing this every Friday at 1 in June. And then between now and then, we're going to try to get in some special episodes. Yeah?
That's right. And our team was at ATDC last night.
And they
big event.
They got like, what, 10, 15, 20 interviews?
Yeah, that was a great event by Jen Bonet and our old friend, Jane McCracken.
Yeah, she helped us coordinate that. And I saw the literature on that, and we were represented as a like legitimate sponsor. How did that happen?
I don't know. Accidents happen.
I like it. Well, this is going to be a fun segment. I've been looking forward to this for some time. So it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you our first guest on our High Velocity Reboot, the president of Talent Zoo, also, I believe, co-owner of Strongbox West. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Miss Amy Hoover. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, welcome, Amy.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Now, today we're here to talk about Talent Zoo primarily, if that's all right with you.
Absolutely.
Because it's an interesting time for people. This is school's ending, right? So now they're going to get out in the job world.
Yes. Lots of young, eager, can't call them kids, but young adults ready to enter the workforce, hopefully.
So you have any tips for that person right out of college?
One of the best tips that I've found I can give to a recent grad or soon to be grad that has a special field of entry. Depending on the field, I deal primarily with people that work in advertising, marketing, communications. Internships can be really invaluable. If you can, if you find yourself in a place where maybe you don't have any job offers on the table right now as you're walking off with your cap and gown, definitely investigate getting some experience under your belt in the form of an internship.
Now, is that something like if persons in college, should they be trying to get internships like freshman year, like it's early and often? Is that
early and often? It just gives you relevant experience so that when you are ready to go out and start earning a paycheck, you've got some real experience under your belt and will likely have an edge over the next guy who does not, next guy or girl who does not.
Mm-hmm. Now at Talent Zoo, you focus, you mentioned on in communications, advertising, the creative field, I guess.
Yes.
How did you get into that? Was that always your background?
Well, yes and no. Studied in school a little bit, some courses here and there, but I actually started doing this as an executive recruiter, a headhunter, specializing in people who work for ad agencies and corporate side marketing. And that's what Talent Zoo's main focus has always been. Our founder, Rick Myers, was in the advertising industry and founded Talent Zoo, the recruiting firm, as a resource for other people like himself that maybe hadn't had the best of luck with recruiters. Recruiters, headhunters are a really big part of that world, like they are in a lot of other industries.
So this is like for executive level?
Mid to executive level was
or
where
it could be a creative director or it could be
a creative director. It could be an account manager, could be a chief marketing officer. Yes, it really ran the gamut as long as it was in that world in some form.
Right.
And then in 2001, we decided to also launch an online job board in addition to having the offline recruitment business. So we did them both in tandem to the same audience. Then in 2009, we decided to focus solely on the online presence and eliminate the offline headhunting and really just focus on the job board itself and the website and giving a lot of tools to people to use on that front rather than being an offline entity.
So now the job board is still focused at that higher level or this
the
is
job
now
board
across
is focused
the board?
From internships up to C-level. So it's a really nice breadth of experience levels that you can find positions for or on the other side, if you are looking to hire, that you can advertise for.
So as a candidate, you can be on the site mm-hmm. and put yourself out there. And then yes. as an employer, you can put yourself out there to say, I'm looking for A, B, C, and D.
Absolutely, yes. So advertise your positions, create a branded page for your company so people can, candidates can learn about
you. So it could be like a regular, it could be their ongoing.
Absolutely, yes.
Just mm-hmm. helping their SEO of their company. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
You're
yeah.
always looking for some guerrilla technique to get.
They're all marketers, right? That's a way to market, right?
That's a way to. You know? That's the way to get your brand out there and drive traffic. Absolutely.
If you're not branding, someone's branding for you, right?
Yes. That's right.
If you don't define yourself, someone's going to define you.
Exactly.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm intimidated by both sides of that, though. As a business owner, if you and I were to get together, Lee, and start to recruit and try to craft something that would help us draw the kind of mm-hmm. talent that we're after, I would feel a little bit intimidated and a little bit lost. And I think, well, particularly now that the old top's getting a little silver, I would feel really intimidated if I were going to go on there and try to describe myself and my value to a potential employer. Some ideas, counsel on either side or both sides of that?
Oh, it's always a good idea from the job seeker or a candidate side to continuously have your resume and profiles updated as you learn new skills, take new positions, get any new certifications, all of that. And that certainly helps. You don't feel like you're starting from ground zero. Now, if you've been in the same role and haven't looked for a job in 20 years, you might be starting from ground zero and might need a little bit of help. And there are career coaches out there and resume writing services. We, of course, have a staff of people who are always happy to help on both sides of the fence, whether you're looking for a job or you're looking to make a hire.
So there's actually a human being involved in the job? Look, you're smiling about yes. that, but not every online service offers that.
No, not every online service does. But no, we do have a staff of people that can help. Just give it a once over, make sure that you don't have any typos in anything. You know, we want you to be represented right. well on our site, because I think it reflects on Talent Zoo to have professionals with, you know, a nice looking either employer or candidate profile. So yes, we're always giving second looks to things and helping where we can. So we enjoy talking to people.
Look,
for real.
There's plenty of web. Based
it's not always the case.
It's yes. not so.
No, it's yes. It's not always live chats and emails. So right. picking up the phone is a nice welcome.
What a concept.
Harken back to the past, right?
You writing that down, Stone? Because some people that I know aren't that good at that.
Yeah, I know. But I'll tell you, this whole area, it is so critical. It is so foundational to having a successful business. So much money is lost, goes right down the drain. On turnover, right?
Turnover is one of a company's largest expenses. People are a company's largest expense by and large, unless you know you have an inventory based business or you have capital equipment right. to invest in. But let's say you remove that from the equation, and we're talking office based workers, and it's expensive to lose someone. It's expensive to hire someone, to train them. It's a big cost. So recruitment to me starts with retention. As far as a company's, agenda might be.
So then that goes to their culture, right?
Like, yes, absolutely. It goes to your culture and what your values are and the dynamic that you create and keeping employees engaged and interested and enthusiastic. And especially if you want to look at what's turning into will be our largest workforce, millennials. There's just a very different mindset about what will attract them to a position, what will keep them engaged, what they're looking for, what's important to them. So it's a large responsibility. I see a lot of companies doing it right. I see a lot of companies doing it in a way that could really be improved. So
what are some mistakes that you see companies making?
I think having what I'll call an old economy mindset of it's my way or the highway. I think that's really your first mistake. Mm-hmm. Second mistake being to not take feedback seriously and embrace the new culture we live in, where people want to have voices and they want to contribute, and they don't just want to come and be a drone and have four managers above them and never have any contact with, real decision makers. You know, everyone wants to feel part of a team, at the end of the day, regardless of what you're doing, whether you're doing something as a hobby on the weekend. It's fun to be able to participate and have a voice in things.
Now, are you seeing that from an employer standpoint, that they are opening their mind to this kind of level of collaboration and giving more autonomy and more trust I mean, they almost have to out of necessity nowadays, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. I think that there are a lot of really smart companies out there that are embracing it. Maybe not everyone's at 100% buy-in, but that's an obvious change in the times and the way that employment and company culture are handled. So the smart ones, I think, are really grasping it and at least trying. I mean, you're not going to get it right every single time. And it's a moving target as right. your company might grow or expand, or your employee makeup changes, dynamics change. So it's an ongoing thing. It's not something you can just sit and write a manifesto of one time and
be done.
Ride it.
Right. It's a living, breathing document that, yes. of how you treat your employees.
Yes.
So now when you're out there and you have kind of an interesting perspective, I'm going to bring Strongbox in if you don't mind.
Not at all.
So you have Strongbox where that's a co-working space, right? There's
yes.
businesses that are established businesses and there's people that have an idea and just want a place to park and have a cup of coffee and do
yes,
some work, right?
It runs the gamut from a tech startup with an idea and a really good sales engineer to an established, let's say, web company or marketing firm. We've got artists and makers, so people doing business in a lot of different areas and at a lot of different points in their business, too.
So now, a traditional employer that might, back in the day, have had an office and everybody would go there, that's not the workforce today. And managing a person that may be at your place or at their house or at a coffee shop, it takes a different skills, don't you think?
It does. And it brings in what I think that we're largely calling a gig economy now as well, mm-hmm. where a lot of the workforce is made up of people who aren't working full time
right.
for a company. They are maybe managing two or three different projects with two or three different companies, or right. they're a remote worker for a company that's based somewhere else. And where co-working can come into it is it's a place where you can go and quickly get set up. It's a, quote unquote, plug and play situation. You walk in, you get your spot. The internet's waiting for you. There's already a kitchen that's stocked. The bathrooms are ready. There are tables, there are chairs. It's a really easy way to get a business off the ground and also to install a worker. Let's say if you're based here, you find someone that you love in Chicago. You can set them up at a co-working space. It gives them some structure in the day. It's a very low-cost way to give an employee who's remote a really nice place to go to work every day.
And that person that's there also benefits from having a lot of like-minded people also there. So if they do have a problem, there might be somebody in the room next to them that could help them with this WordPress plugin.
Absolutely.
That's buggy, right?
Yes. There are a lot of really smart, entrepreneur-minded people working at Strongbox West, as well as most other co-working places where you can find like-minded people. And maybe they don't have your skill set, but they have a complementary skill set.
Right.
And especially if you're growing a business there and you need help, but maybe on only a project basis before you're hiring full-time, you can often just walk down the hallway
right, they
and
might be
find someone
on a couch nearby.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, they might be hanging out in the coffee shop. Right. They might be in the lounge. They might be outside taking a stroll. So just look around and say hi to people.
So now you were kind of early on in the online with Talentu on the online mm-hmm. job board thing, and you're kind of early on in the co-working space. What makes you such a innovator and kind of early adopter of these things?
Well, it's I have a great partner, Rick Myers, and we've also spent a lot of time together, working together, and been trying to look where the ball's going, not where the ball is. You want to go where the ball's going to be if you want to catch it. So being in the employment sector with Talentu gave us a good read on how companies were really starting to use freelancers a lot. And just the technology that's become available in the past 5 to 10 years that allows so many more innovative ways to do things, it carried over into workforce as well. So we're the longest running co-working space, Strongbox West in Atlanta. And we were very early on the scene as far as doing an online job board as well. It was the internet was a clunky place in 2001 when we launched. I have a few old printouts of what the site looked like back then, and it seemed really cutting edge, but
you should print those out, put them on the wall.
I have them hidden, honestly, but it's a nice walk down memory lane when they come out.
So what's ahead?
Where's
the next ball going?
Well, I really think that having a mobile workforce is the way of the future. And while there will always be companies with full-time employees on site, you're really seeing the larger Fortune 500 corporations really embrace this idea of having an entrepreneurial spirit and building almost a small startup team sometimes inside their team or going offsite to co-working places like Strongbox and being around young entrepreneurs with new ideas that are up on the latest technology. Also at Strongbox, there's a code school there. So there's a lot of fresh, web developers that are, coming out with all new skills.
Is that a separate company or that something you guys are doing?
It's a separate company within Strongbox. So it's a Strongbox company and that's what they do. So there's a lot of variety. But yes, I think this march toward having a remote and mobile workforce is really where it's going to be. And also working offsite, even if you have an office for your employees. We have a lot of companies that send their teams to Strongbox to simply just be offsite for a day and get energized.
And be around all that energy of all the entrepreneurs. Energy,
something different, a room with a bunch of whiteboards and some energy and all the caffeine you can possibly consume to get the creative juices flowing. And there you go. And it's, I saw it in the advertising and marketing world. They've always been really about creating an environment that inspires creativity and is more fun than your standard cube farm.
Right.
So those trends, I think, will obviously continue. We all read about the tech companies that are racing to have the most, whether it's ping pong tables, nap rooms, on-site catering, massages, anything to keep people engaged and fresh.
Now, we're doing some work with the Entrepreneurship Center at Kennesaw State, and they're creating a degree in entrepreneurship. And that whole kind of mindset, I think, is shifting nowadays where the person that's graduating has to be kind of an entrepreneur, whether they work for a company or not. But their mindset has to be that of an entrepreneur, that it's a make something happen, create your own destiny kind of world nowadays.
It's a hustle, get it done world.
Right.
And, don't sit back or someone's going to pass you by.
Right. And that's a different... you got to really change the thinking because I have a kid that's about to graduate high school, so that's kind of top of mind for me. But seeing him go through school, at each level, they're not teaching that. It's like, get a job, you're going to work for somebody, here's how to make a resume.
Still a lot of that. And at the end of the day, you can't have all chiefs and no Indians either.
Right.
So it's not the world for everybody. And that's okay because everyone can't be doing the same thing.
Right.
You can't have everyone be a leader and you can't have no one be a leader. So, there's a place for everyone in there, but
and you might have to jump in and out of those roles throughout your career. Your career isn't work somewhere for 20 years and be done.
Not anymore.
Those days are over. This is kind of a make it happen world.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It's exciting to watch and it's so dynamic and it's changing. And especially in our market here in Atlanta, there's just a boon of entrepreneurship and there's a lot of really exciting startup activity in town. And so it's like, it's contagious. So
it is, I think more and more, and you've seen it grow. I mean, like you said, you were the first one doing this here in Atlanta and now they're in every city. How many co-working spaces are there now? There's dozens of them, right?
When Strongbox opened, you could maybe find out of 100 people, 5 that had heard of co-working, let alone understood what it was.
Right.
And it's the norm now and becoming more and more so that. So.
And I think that's a good thing.
I agree. I like it.
So now for Talent Zoo, if somebody wants to learn more.
There's a lot of information that you can find out simply on the website itself. It's talentzoo.com. Nice and easy.
And that's for the employer that's looking for somebody in the kind of a creative field, but not necessarily, but in advertising, communications.
Advertising, marketing, technology also.
Web stuff and coding you mentioned.
Web, creative, coding, marketing, technology, media, journalism. That world of, lots of creative
and
that, folks.
It's not just Atlanta. It's anywhere in the world too?
Yes.
Like even in...
North America.
North America.
It's US
primarily.
And Canada primarily. So
there's jobs there for New York, for
San Francisco,
anywhere in
Dallas,
the country.
Chicago, Atlanta, everywhere in between. Smaller markets too. It's not just the big metro areas. We cover coast to coast.
And so the people that post there are ad agencies or marketing departments in large companies.
Yes, tech companies as well.
Right.
So a lot of those folks are all chasing the same people at this point. It's merged a lot into someone that can be multifaceted, where maybe 15 years ago you had one strong skill set. A lot of what is sought today is someone that can do maybe 2 or 3 different things.
Right.
It's a money-saving option for the employer, and it's really a way to keep a nimble workforce.
And that way you're always getting a flow of candidates so that you can be ready when that you know, the diamond in the rough appears, they're ready to pounce, right?
Mm-hmm, indeed.
And then, so there's also a place, though, for candidates where they can go and you recommend that people do that and then submit all their stuff there.
Create a profile, upload your resume, link to your portfolio, whether you're a creative or you just simply have a personal website or a blog that you work on. That's very common now, even if you're not in a traditional, let's say, designer or copywriter world where you might have a creative portfolio.
Right.
A personal website that just shows your interest, has a link to your resume, all of your social media profiles, some blog posts. That's a really important tool as a job seeker.
And then from if you put your recruiter hat back on, that person, the reason you want to do that is because the recruiter's out there looking, right?
They're perusing constantly.
And they're going on social media and they're checking you out.
Absolutely, yes.
So put stuff out that you're proud of.
Put stuff out there that you're proud of. Maybe stop putting things out there you wouldn't be so proud of.
That's a good
They say nothing
advice.
Disappears on the internet.
Google is forever.
Yeah, but you can certainly delete old posts from, you know, Facebook or Twitter if you realize a little later down the road they weren't that great. So,
and then if you're in Atlanta and you're an entrepreneur, Strongbox West website?
It's strongboxwest.com. There's information there about all of our membership plans. You can see photos of the space, pictures of some of the people who work there, get in touch with us, all of that information.
And you have events there and you...
We have events there. We also have a meeting and classrooms. It can be rented out to people who don't have working memberships there. So it's an event space as well as a workspace.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you for asking me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, I still got to ask her one question because you're incredible. I don't know how you do it. I am on Sanity's Edge running one half of one smaller company than either of yours, and you're running two or three. How do you keep yourself sane and keep yourself organized and prioritized?
Well, you were in the coffee shop. Yeah, I'm sure that helps.
No one accuses me of being sane frequently.
Just give that dream up. I see.
It's a lot of moving parts going on consistently. So yeah, there are many evenings where I don't have a lot left in me once I get home. So, but it's, you know, it's always interesting. So I'd rather have that than be bored.
I'm sure you're not bored often.
You clearly have a deep and wide tank of passion fuel or vision fuel or whatever that is, but it's invigorating to have a conversation with you about this kind of thing. Thanks so much for coming down and visiting with us. Will you hang out with us while we chat with our next guest?
I would love to. Thank you. Yes.
All right. Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, we have on the broadcast with us with Gilmore Law Firm, Miss Lanisha Gilmore. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So tell us, did you learn anything in that last segment?
I learned a lot, and a lot I agree with. So I'm seeing that in the legal field as well. I know that you focus on advertising and marketing, but I think that the legal field is moving toward more remote work as well. So a lot of things were pretty helpful. And I think I may stop by Strongbox as well.
Please do. Yeah.
It's the best coffee in that area.
Yes.
Firelight Coffee. It's a wonderful shop there.
But no, small businesses, I think, I'll just confess for the two or three that failed for me before I jumped on Lee's coattails a few years ago. One of the biggest mistakes I'm sure that I made is I waited much too long to go get legal counsel and just get some ducks in a row. And that's not uncommon. I'm not the only guy that's made that mistake, am I?
No. Unfortunately, there are a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs out there that I know they're working on a limited income. So they usually hire their lawyers and accountants last. And sometimes it's when they are about to or probably getting into trouble at this point.
Right.
That, in my opinion, is the worst time to hire an attorney. I think that you need an attorney in the beginning stages of your business to kind of help and navigate you at getting started with agreements and making sure that you formed your company according to your goals. That's all to protect you. I definitely understand that the normal hourly rate is usually the issue, but there are attorneys like myself out there who realize that times are changing and we need to be flexible and kind of be available to those small businesses. So
now if you were counseling a small business person and you wanted them to have that first meeting with you, what are some of the things you would cover in that first meeting?
I would start with their goals for their company. I would sit down with them and try to understand their company, ask them what their plans are. You know, I would ask them, have they done the basic things as far as forming an entity? And where have they formed it? Have they considered like location, whether it's Georgia, if they're here in Atlanta, Nevada, which is a good state, as well as Delaware. Once again, it depends on their goals.
Why would you choose Delaware over Atlanta or Nevada over Atlanta?
Because of the different corporation rules and regulations that each state has. Depending on if you want to expand, if you want to be a corporation and you want to have investors, all those places would kind of be different and probably help you out depending on what your plans are. Mm-hmm. But I want to sit down and kind of get to the nit and grit of what they're doing and what their business expansion goals are, where they're starting, and see if they have agreements that would kind of help navigate that process. If they have partners, do they have partnership agreements, operating agreements, confidentiality agreements, things of that nature, just to get them started on basic protection.
So then, like at that first meeting, there might be five or six things that are important for them to consider. And then you can help them kind of knock out each one of those over. Like, it doesn't have to be, okay, now I got to spend thousands of dollars to knock this out today.
Right.
And you can kind of help them over time and prioritize.
Yes, that's what I try to do. I ask them their budget and I kind of help them prioritize what they need now and what we can wait on according to their budget. And that's usually more helpful than saying, you know, let's get this done now and it's going to be $15,000.
Right. So sell your house.
Yeah.
Getting second mortgage.
Right. Yeah. So I try to definitely work within their budget. I think that's very important for a small business.
And so is there like a short list of just fundamental documents, contracts, thingies you should have on your website or in your top file drawer that just, if you're in business, you know, Stone, you got to have these three things or these five things. Is there a short list like that?
Well, it definitely depends on what type of business you're in. But I would definitely go back to if you're a partnership or an LLC or a corporation, if you are working with more than one person, you should have agreements that outline your business and how you guys are going to work together. And those are your basic partnership agreements, your operating agreements, and your bylaws. I think that is very important. Also, I think the basic services agreements or master services agreements, if you're providing services or products, that's important because you kind of need that to get started,
right.
As well as employment agreements. If you are in a position to hire employment or employees in the beginning stages, that can be helpful. And your non-compete and confidentiality agreements are important as well to kind of protect the things that you have, whether it's trade secrets or anything of that nature, kind of protect your work.
Now, what if you work with the government? Are there special contracts you have to do when you're dealing with the government?
Well, the government space is a little bit different. You still would have those basic agreements that I just mentioned for a small business. But the government space...
Caesar has his own contracts.
Okay.
that's true what you're about to say, right?
Well, no, they do, honestly, but you can still negotiate. I always say no matter who it is, it can be the federal government or the Coca-Cola company, negotiate. So that's my biggest thing. But they do. They do have their own contracts. And but you still need your basic small business or business agreements as a business itself outside of the government. But the government procurement program is a great program for small businesses to get started. And I would review those agreements from Caesar. Yeah.
So what is the government procurement program?
Yeah, it's small businesses or businesses that do business with the government. They sell products and services with the federal government. It can be IT services with the DOD, that's the Department of Defense or Department of Veterans Affairs. It could be court reporting or something like that.
So surveying. You help clients with that?
Because
that seems like its own can of worms.
Yeah, no
it
kidding.
Is. It is.
Is it a niche market for you even? Like a niche revenue stream?
Definitely it is. And I enjoy it because there are not many attorneys that actually practice government contracts law.
And
it allows me the opportunity to kind of see different sides of how people make their money. So basically with the government contract space, the government sets aside certain contracts for various small businesses. It could be women-owned businesses, service-disabled veteran businesses. It can be businesses, what they call HUD zone, where they're basically...
If they're located in a certain part of the town.
Yes, yes. So the government sets aside a certain amount of contracts for those types of businesses, basically to include these small businesses within the big space of government funding and money. And
is there a set aside for old men with broken dreams? Is it?
I don't think so. I'm going to have to do some more research on that.
But I have to consult someone like you to find out, right?
Now, I've heard horror stories of dealing with the government in terms of if you fill out a document wrong or if you don't fill out one document ahead of another document, like the whole thing, you're starting again. Like it's very complicated or can be.
I would say complicated. I will say it's very detailed because it's the federal government and they have a lot of regulations and guidelines. So it is important that you have someone to kind of help you along the way.
But it's hard to, you can't just, a lay person just would have a difficult time just going through there and just, oh, I just fill out this form and then.
No, it's a lot of paperwork.
Right.
No, it's a lot of paperwork. The SBA definitely has a lot of programs and they assist small businesses as well. And then you have attorneys like me that also help you through the paperwork. And usually most small businesses that I work with, that's the kind of the biggest issue they have is the vast amount of paperwork they have to deal with. So
now working with you could save a lot of, it might cost money, but it could save a lot of time.
Yes, definitely right? Time and probably headache and, you know, and you're less gray hair.
And you're going to get it right probably on the first go around.
Of course, yeah.
As opposed to if I try and I send it in, then a month goes by and they're like, oh, you need to fill out this form now. And then I go back and try that and I filled that wrong. And then months are going by. I mean, it could.
Yes, definitely. I would say I specialize in detail. I think that it takes a keen eye and definitely knowing the processes and procedures of the government helps. So
how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for you? Because you're running a business as well. Are people knocking on the door and the phone ringing? Are you out there with some sort of strategy for that?
Well, for me, the difficult part is that I usually have to teach small businesses why they need an attorney. So the education part is very important. So I definitely try and do seminars and things of that nature to kind of explain what I'm explaining today as far as why you need an attorney and the onset of your business.
I know a great place where you can go to do a talk.
Okay, where would that be?
Strongbox.
I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah, with Amy.
That's awesome. Yes. I was thinking about that.
But you do those kind of things, right? We host.
We do.
Things.
We try to bring in resources for our early stage startups. I would love to do that. You know, even freelancers, you know, they need help with all of that also, whether you're, you know, starting a business, growing a business, or just working on your own from here out. I'd sing the praises of having a good attorney and a good accountant right from the onset.
Great.
And I think it saves money in the long run.
It does. And that's what I definitely try and tell clients, that you're going to spend a lot more money if you have to go to court. So my job is to be proactive.
That's true.
So definitely, I definitely do seminars and things to try to educate potential clients. The majority of my clients come from referrals, and those are usually the best. You can't go wrong with a good referral from another client that, you know, you've serviced and done a good job for. So
now, what's next for you?
For me? Well, I'm continuing to grow my business. I do a lot of remote work, and I was thinking about Strongbox as I'm...
Man,
yeah.
This is Andy Hoover day.
This is a great hour for me. Thank you.
And I'm saying that because a lot of my clients, I may see them during my initial consultation,
right. But
they don't necessarily want to see me anymore. So they send me work, you know, via email or something, a contract. And that's pretty much it. So I want to expand that area. I don't consider myself the traditional lawyer, so to speak. So
you got to think untraditionally then. Right?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So I need to be out amongst other entrepreneurs and teaching, you know, education about why you need an attorney and just growing. I think you have to always think about marketing your services when you work for yourself. I mean, there's never a time where you shouldn't be thinking about that. So
do you have any events you're working on upcoming or?
I actually have a golf tournament that I will be sponsoring and kind of working on May 26th. And it's with a corporation that I already work for, but there are other opportunities and companies that will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Axiom Corporation's golf tournament. It's May 26th of this month. So that's one of the next kind of big things that I'm doing.
And then, so if somebody Googled that, they'd find information about that? Or?
Yes, they should.
Or maybe your website might have something. Now?
Yes, it's GilmoreLegal.com.
Well, let's do make sure that we get your coordinates so that our listeners will be able to get in touch with you and have a, you know, a more in-depth conversation with you or somebody on your team about this. So let's do get some coordinates, whatever's appropriate, phone number,
yeah,
email.
Yeah, definitely. Whatever. My website is GilmoreLegal.com. It's one word. You can definitely give me a call as well. My number here in Atlanta is 404-829-2740. And it's the Gilmore Law Firm.
What a fantastic way to reboot High Velocity right. Radio. Man, that this has been a lot of fun. Thank you both.
Thank you guys.
So much
Thank
for
you.
Coming. Yeah,
I
what a
it.
Pleasure. Well, we'll have to have you back sometime. Until then, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time in the Fast Lane.